In the wake of a horrifying disaster in your own life, you may be left with doubts, fears, questions, questions of blame, questions of guilt, questions of faith. When disaster hits you, how do you cope? How do you deal with the pain of a personal tragedy in your own life? How do you heal emotionally, physically, spiritually? Do you ever wonder if there is anyone in control? If there is a God, where is He? Join us today as we discover the answers to these questions on Precepts for Life.
Look at a disaster from afar off. It's one thing to hear about it on television, and many times our hearts are gripped and they're torn. But it's another thing to live through a disaster. I want to introduce to you Bob and Diane Vereen. They are our ambassadors at large at Precept Ministries International, and they travel all over the world. And yet I remember what happened 12 years ago. When I was in the lobby of our administration building, and all of a sudden, there was a call for me to get on the phone. I picked up the phone, and I heard these words, "Kay, this is Bobby, and I've got something to tell you." And at that moment, they told me of a tragedy that they were living through. And it was like one tragedy upon another. And you're going to hear their story today. But more importantly, precious one, you're not only going to hear their story, but you're going to learn how do you live in the midst of that disaster? How do you understand what is going on when all of a sudden tragedy hits? You wonder, God, where are you? Where are you, God, right now? And I can tell you honestly that this dear couple can give you hope and they can give you help for your future, because we all suffer in one way or another.
There were times, literally, I felt like I was having a heart attack.
You just almost feel like at times, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go through this. I'm just not sure I'm going to make it.
Bob and Diane Vereen were living what most would consider a good life. They were both active in ministry, serving as ambassadors for Precept Ministries International, happily married, and the proud parents of two successful sons, Scott and Sean. Scott was the oldest, constantly making big footprints for his little brother to fill.
I think, you know, just the enjoyment of, having the competitiveness, but also having a best friend who, you know, was my brother. We got to room together in college. We played baseball together in college.
Scott was a gifted athlete. He especially loved football and baseball. But Scott realized what made him great on and off the field.
He worked extremely hard at whatever he did. Therefore, in a lot of cases, he would rise above some of the kids that maybe had more natural talent. But his perseverance and discipline and work ethics just were overwhelming.
Probably one of the most coveted awards that Scott got was when he was in college. He was a senior in college playing college baseball. And Scott was given the award for, it was the Beau Freeman Award, and he was given that award recognizing his Christian character in the athletic arena and out of the athletic arena.
After graduating college, Scott married his high school sweetheart, Chrissy. At age 22, these newlyweds were living the fairy tale life when the unthinkable happened.
I can tell you like it was yesterday. It was February the 18th of 1994. It was a Friday afternoon. It was crystal clear blue day.
I was sitting in my breakfast room at the breakfast table, and I was studying the book of Revelation. And I received the phone call, and on the other end of the phone was Johnny. Johnny was Scott's boss.
Bobby called me at the doctor's office, and of course when I picked up the telephone, he said my name over and over again, and I could tell by the tone of his voice that there was something wrong. Bobby said, "Diane, Scott is dead." And of course, the first thing that happened is that I just couldn't believe it. I just said, no, there's got to be a mistake. And I kept trying to get him to tell me that it was a mistake.
A parent's worst nightmare became a shocking and devastating reality within a matter of minutes. Scott was tragically killed when his car slammed into a truck loaded with lumber. Many friends and family members ask how such a tragedy could happen to someone whose life held so much promise.
The hard part for me was the fact and the reality that it was over. The fact that I couldn't pick up the phone and call, the fact that I couldn't get advice, the fact that just the night before I had spoken to him.
The emotions run wild. The emotions go all over the board, everywhere. And the mind has a tendency to wonder in terms of what did I do wrong. One of the most painful experiences I've ever gone through.
I'd be standing in the shower and start crying, or I'd be in the car or in the grocery store. And just for no reason, something would remind me of Scott and I would start crying.
Scott was 23 years old when he died. The Vereens grieve over their loss, but they find peace in knowing that at the age of 17, Scott gave his life to Christ. The Vereens now share their story to help others cope with the loss of a loved one.
The day that Scott was buried, I just asked the Lord that day not to let his death be in vain. And I knew that it would not be in vain, but it would be in vain in my life if I did not allow the Lord to do what he wanted to do through my life and in my life as a result of it.
The greatest thing that I know and remember about my brother was that he was ready. Scott was at total peace with his life. He was at peace with his Savior. He was at peace with his wife. He was at peace with his family and his friends. And that's what we try to give the encouragement to other people is first of all, are you at peace with your Savior? Are you at peace at knowing that if I walk out of this door today and I'm in a car accident, or I have a heart attack, or I have some other illness, that it's my time to go, that I'm at total peace with my Savior? That's the number one key.
You've heard their story, and you understand the tragedy, and you've experienced some of the pain, but I know you want to know, how did you make it? How did you survive? How did you keep from getting angry at God? Or did you get angry at God? Were you bitter? Did you say, well, if this is what it means to serve you, then you can just forget it? Because these two people have literally poured out their lives for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I remember getting in the car. I remember driving with another staff couple all the way to the funeral. And as we drove, I was thinking, you know, it was 7 months ago that I was on this same road going to their wedding. And I remember getting there, and I remember, that you couldn't get near the funeral home. I mean, there were young people all over the place. They were adults, and somebody spotted me, and somebody recognized me as being close to them and working with them at Precept Ministries International. And they said, come on, and we'll take you through. But I'm telling you that funeral service and what Bob said to me when I saw him for the very first time, that's what I want you to hear. Bob, do you remember what you said to me when you saw me the very first time face to face and I got there at the funeral?
No, I don't. I really don't, Kay.
You looked at me and you said, I want you to know that his word is true and his grace is sufficient. That's and true. God has not left the throne. That's what you said. And I'll never forget it because I thought, God, he really believes. You really did.
Oh, yeah. Because the key, I think, Kay, was that for years since my salvation in 1978 until 1994, during all of those years, those 16 years, it had been my pattern to study the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that I was introduced to the inductive method of studying the Word of God, because I really discovered truth for myself. And those truths were just not things that I knew about in the Bible, but they were things that I had embraced, and they had become a part of me because God himself had, through the Holy Spirit, had taught me those truths. And when you said, you know, do you remember what you said? I remember that the thing that carried me through was the Word of God. And I love what a friend of mine said when he went through a tragedy. He said, when the bottom fell out, my feet landed on the rock, landed on the Word of God. And all those years of studying the Word of God, those truths just started coming to surface. And every time I would think of something, God would bring to remembrance a truth. I never will forget the first time I hung the phone up after receiving the news. I cried out to God and I said, God, I don't think I can go through this. Mm-hmm. And immediately that verse of scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13 came to my mind immediately. There has no temptation or trial taken you such as is common to man, but
God is faithful.
Faithful, and He will, you know, enable you to endure it or to go through it.
That's
and
right.
will provide the way of escape. And that verse of scripture was the first response of God, if you will. Mm-hmm. So the Word of God is just so tremendously important. And then the second thing that you said was that that was the past. That was what laid the foundation, if you will, for that event. But then the other thing that was so important was the grace. You know, my grace is sufficient, and my grace is enough. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the key. It was not something that I did. It was something that God was doing in me.
And Diane, when we come back, I know that your two boys, well, your three boys, counting Bob, and
yeah.
he acts like a boy many times, but I know that your two boys were next to Jesus. They were the center of your life. And I know that you had, your mother had cancer. You were going through all sorts of other trials when this happened. And I want you to share when we come back.
Forty-five years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee. In a barn, actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
Humans are in control of a lot of fate. God plays a part in our life, but I think he stands back for the human element.
I control my own destiny. I make the decision whether I want to be with God or not.
It's up to us what we do, and we have choices in life, and it's up to us to make those decisions. And so that's why I think we're in control.
It's beyond our control.
Well, I guess I'm in control of my own destiny as far as the choices I make.
I think he's more of a crutch to lean on instead of, like, the controlling force, like, upstairs with the big remote control for everybody telling them what to do.
I know somebody has to be in control because of the way things work.
Without God, man, you ain't... I don't know what to tell you if you ain't got God or just...
And suppose, precious one, we put that microphone in front of you and we ask you, who's in control when bad things happen? And suppose something bad had just happened to you. Suppose your mate had told you that they were leaving. Suppose you got word about cancer. Suppose you heard that your granddaughter, as one of my friends just heard, your granddaughter was murdered. What would you say? How would you answer? Is there an answer? Do we really know who's in control? Well, as you know, we've been talking to Bob and Diane. And you know how that car went up and how another one had stopped and how that wood came right through and killed Scott. Where was God? Well, Diane, you had to answer that question, didn't you?
I certainly did, Kay.
Yeah, and those boys were so special to you, are so special to you.
They are, and I literally would have given my life for them. Mm-hmm. But God chose to take Scott home, and the thing that I had to ask myself was, where was God? Well, God was on the throne because He is El Elyon. He's the Most High God. He rules over the realm of mankind. He was also with Scott that day because mm-hmm. He's omnipresent. He was with me and when I was taking care of my mother, who was dying with cancer, and He was with Bobby and our youngest son in Chattanooga. And I also had to think, well, God, why didn't you stop it? You know, He could have, because He's all powerful. Yeah. And He had the power to do that. But I also know what the Word of God says. And God had just used these verses in my heart over and over again to encourage me and take me through a healing process. But God knew the plans that He had for Scott. And they were plans for good, not for evil, to give him a future and a hope. And his before he was ever formed in my womb, Scott had numbered his days. So that day was just a fulfillment of those days mm-hmm. that He had ordained for Scott.
Yeah. I love that verse in Psalm 139 when He says He wrote in the book all of our days. Right. God did. When there was not yet one of them. All
yes.
of Scott's days. But, you know, it's so hard because you think he was such a fine young man. I mean, he was so outstanding and so kind and so compassionate and so burdened that others would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And does it make you afraid to give your child to God or to say to God, God, whatever it takes, use me to bring another person to Christ?
I think, Kay, if you know your God and mm-hmm. you know that He is a God of love and that He knows better than we do, and you can trust Him, then you have to be able to trust Him with your children. And you know, both of my boys were in open hands before the Lord. And that was difficult. I mean, it's been a very, very painful, painful process. Mm-hmm. And certainly not one that I would have chosen to go through. But the reality is God is a trustworthy God. And I had to just choose to believe what He said in His Word and choose to believe who He is rather than keeping my focus on those circumstances. Humanly, as I said earlier, it doesn't make any sense to me even today.
Yeah. I have walked through this with you. I've been there. We've shared many evenings together and we've been at our headquarters in Israel and I've seen the tears come and mine came with yours and Bob, I love it because you're a man in touch with your emotions and you were crying at the beginning of this program, because I was crying. But the tears, the pain, what do you do when all of a sudden the wave, the remembrance of it comes and hits you? You know, how do you handle that?
I don't know if this is the right thing to say, Kay, but enjoy the moment.
In other words,
you know, yeah. Let the tears flow.
Yeah.
Cherish that pain, that absence that is there mm-hmm. on the one hand. On the other hand, Diane says it best when she says, I choose not to live there.
Yeah,
I choose not to stay there, because if you stay there, then comes anger, then comes bitterness. But it's okay to have those emotions, and we still do, obviously.
Mm-hmm. When you stay there, then you deal with the what ifs.
That's right.
And the if onlys.
Right. Right.
And why did you? And where were you?
Right.
And otherwise, if you look at the Word and you say, okay, God, this is who you are. This is what I hear. I love what your friend said. You know, when the bottom falls out, you land on the rock.
Right.
right.
And the thing is that rock was cleft. Remember that God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock when he passed by in all of his power and all of his majesty. And I think about that cleft of the rock as being Jesus, you know, that he's there and he's sufficient.
Right.
And I think about Abraham offering Isaac. How could Abraham obey God and offer his son as a sacrifice? You know, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice, where I'll tell you. And you think, how? It's because Abraham looked beyond that to the fact that God was going to raise him from the dead. And he thought, okay, if I put him to death, the promises are in you. You promised me an heir. This is my heir. You're just going to have to raise him from the dead. When I found that verse in Hebrews 11, and when it was saying, you know, in this hall of faith of trusting God, and over and over and over again, you see them just trusting God in all these things. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, that he considered God. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac, your descendants or your seed shall be called. He considered that God is able.
Right.
God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which also he received him back as a type, because he stopped him and he says, now I know that you love me. Would you say that trials show or demonstrate our relationship to God?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, because I think for me, the affirmation of my faith came in the death of our son.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw the supernatural, I felt the supernatural, I experienced the supernatural strength and grace of God.
Precious one, listen to me very, very carefully. You do not have to be afraid of the trial. You do not have to be afraid of the tragedy. Because God sits on his throne. Psalm 103 says his sovereignty rules over all. Isaiah 45 says he creates good and he creates adversity. If it's God behind it, beloved, just know that you can make it. It's not Father, it's not Mother Nature, it's Father God. It's not the devil, it's Almighty, Omnipotent Lord. He is God. He's on his throne. You can trust him. Rest and trust in his promises. Cling to him as the waistband clings to the waist of a man.
I'm not a real big believer in God, but I mean, I know there's something bigger out there that controls everything, but I'm really not sure what.
Definitely the Lord God is in control. He does everything with a purpose, and even though we don't understand it, he is definitely in control. He knows what the end result is.
Whatever you want to call him. I call him God. Other people may have a different name, and there's got to be a higher order out there that is unknown to most of us, and remains hidden, and that secret is always what we're searching for.
Yeah, it's up to us, kind of. God doesn't force us to do anything, you know.
my own self, I've lost a child, and I know going through that, God was the only peace that I have. And the day that we buried my child, I can't tell you, but the peace that I had was beyond all measures, and I know that only comes from above, and that's the peace that God gives.
Well, we have been talking to Bob and Diane Vereen, our ambassadors at large for Precept Ministries International. They travel all over the world, and I get to travel with them many, many times, and Jack does sometimes also. They're very, very special friends. You've heard the tragedy. You've heard of the loss of their son, and there have been other things connected with that. And I want them to share with you right now, precious one. I want them to look straight at you and give you one precept for life for you to hang on to today when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Diane, you go first.
The key for me is keeping an eternal perspective. And in the scripture, it tells us that we are to set our mind on things above. We are to keep seeking things above. And we are to look not at the things that we can see, but the things which are unseen, which are the eternal things. And that's the thing, Kay, that kept me and held me, was keeping my eyes focused on the Lord. And it was amazing as we went through this process and as God began to show us step by step how to deal with these issues, He would remind me of the truth, and I would have to choose to keep my focus on the truth of what God said.
I love it. And it's in a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where he says, we do not lose heart. He opens that chapter that way. He closes it in verse 16 and he talks about the trials and how we're knocked down, but we were able to get back up, and how we despair, but we are not without hope. So precious one, you can make it if you will look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen, they are eternal. And Bob, what is your precept for life for these dear people?
You know, Kate, when all of this happened, I really sensed that God spoke to me one time when he said, I did not take your boy. I gave you mine.
And
because
that.
He did, mm-hmm. my son, who had a faith in him, his mm-hmm. son, then spending an eternity with him in heaven. And heaven is not a bad place. I mean, we grieve because we've lost a son.
Yes.
But we can also rejoice because he's now not walking on streets of asphalt, but he's walking on streets of gold. And he's in his presence.
Yeah, as Adrian Rogers, our friend, would say, I'm kicking up gold dust under my feet.
That's right.
And precious one, this is what you need to remember. Oh, what a takeaway for you. Earth is not our home. We're eternal beings. It's either heaven or hell. And you want to make sure that it's heaven for you. You do that by acknowledging that Jesus is God, that he has a right to rule your life, that he paid for all your sins, and he's the only way to the Father. Call on him now, and you'll have hope. You'll have eternal life.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.